Good morning. How's everybody doing? Getting through all these different things. It takes timing, right? How many of you have perfect timing? Comedians depend on timing. I'm not a comedian, and Sally says, don't do those things. You're not a comedian. In our culture and in the era that we live in now, scheduling and timing play a major part in a lot of the things that we do. It has a major influence on our lives. The order of the service, we try to do that so that the timing follows through with what we're trying to do, the focus of what we're trying to do, our worship time. The music itself, those of you who are musicians, you know that timing plays a major part in music. If you're not together, out of sync, it sounds like mush or worse. And when you're together and have the timing down right and along with the right notes, it all blends together and is inspiring and encouraging. Your engines that you use to get here, the combustion engine depends on timing, even has a part in it called the timing chain to make sure that all the gears work together at the right time, the pistons and everything function at the right time. Otherwise, it'd be a mess. You wouldn't be able to get anywhere. How would you like to be an acrobat and find out that your partner who's supposed to catch you does not have good timing? That would not be good. Not good at all. Many of you watch your favorite sports teams play. And how many of you like sports? Okay. And you watch those people out there on the field and they just do those things. They run and jump and twist and catch balls and everything, and it just happens by accident, right? No, it all depends upon a lot of timing. They've spent a lot of years practicing and perfecting the timing in doing the skills that they have in order to be the stars that they are. Sometimes timing doesn't appear to work out just exactly the best for us. There was once a little girl who came home from school in tears. And her mother asked, "What's wrong?" And the little girl said, "I wish you would let me take my bath in the morning before I go to school." And the mother said, "Why do you want to take your bath before you go to school?" And the little girl says, "For the last 3 months, the teacher's been asking us, everybody who has had a bath today, stand up. And I haven't been able to stand up a single time." Why do people look at the complexity of the universe, the complexity of our existence, and claim that it's all chance and accident? They give evolution the gold star for everything that is happening in our universe. We hear educated people speak of the development of the human race as a random act of chance of universe that is evolving, and that the chain of the DNA has been described as a progressive act of accidental or selective improvements through eons of time. But as they describe this accident, they're wearing clothes that have been made by people with design. They are wearing a necklace or a chain, or they have a watch or an iPhone or cell phone of some type that was made by accident. No, it was made by careful precision crafting by people. And they speak into a recording device that didn't happen by accident, but was made by the engineering skills of man. Others call the universe an accident while they peer through complex telescopes that have been carefully crafted and made by the hands of who? Not a dinosaur, not a dog, but by men, by the mind of humanity. The more we look through the telescope or the microscope, we are amazed at the complexity of the design that utilized perfect timing by the Creator. Surely we must see that there is a Creator God who stands behind the order of it all. We must not forget that God has been and continues to be involved in the activities of all humanity. All of us have God's eye upon us. God's timing is in our life, if we will give Him credit. Let's never deny God's perfect timing. The Almighty One has shown His involvement in the past. He continues to be involved in the present, and He has assured us that He will be involved in the time of the future. For us, we have to ask ourselves, will I be a part of the rebellious enemy of God, downplaying what He is doing, or will I be a willing servant in God's perfect timing in what He calls me to do? I had brother share with us from the Christmas story, is what we usually call it, of Mary conceiving the child, and it was in God's time. Jesus came in God's time. Again, we have reference to God's timing in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Let's read those two verses. And when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, and that He might receive, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God's timing was perfect in sending Jesus, and God's timing is perfect for us today, that we would receive Jesus, and receive adoption into His family. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, thank You for working all things for Your good. For those who love You, those who are called according to Your purpose. Father, let us be in Your purpose, in Your will, doing Your will, living Your will in the midst of a world of what seems to be chaos and confusion over and over again. Father, let us remember that You are still in the midst of the challenges of our life, that You have a plan, You have a time for all things. Let us learn to walk within that time, trusting in You, representing You, honoring You at all times. We thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Time. God's perfect timing. Sometimes we look around and we wonder, was that really part of God's plan? Well, God is working through all of it in spite of what we think sometimes. The perfect timing is part of God's ability. If He is Almighty God, He has perfect timing. And He has that ability of having perfect time. And He never fails in having that perfect time. For God to be supreme and to be master, timing must be part of His nature. Our text claims that God was conscious of the passing of time, that time was taking place. God is the one who created time. He's the one who... How do we determine time? Well, for us to begin with, is based upon the rotation of the earth and the circulation around the sun. And so we've developed our calendars and our clocks and everything based upon that time. Where did all that come from? It came from Almighty God to begin with. Our text claims that God was conscious of the passing of this time. And so He's working through all of it. Even though other scriptures tells us that He is the creator of time and is not bound or limited by time. Psalm chapter 90, verse 4 tells us this. For 1,000 years in Your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we have a similar text that jumps off of that same idea, that same concept, that God is not limited. It doesn't chain Him down. It doesn't keep Him from doing what He wants to do. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a what? 1,000 years. and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing that any would perish, but for all to come to repentance. God is waiting for us in our time schedule to come to him, to lay our lives down before him in obedience. He's waiting for the people down the street. He's waiting for the people on the other side of the world. God has a plan, and he's working it all in his time. I have a hard time scheduling things with Sally, just the two of us. And then when we get involved with our kids, that gets a little bit more interesting. Can you imagine working a schedule for all 8 billion people in the world today? And yet God is doing that. God is working his plan, his time, for every person in this world, and not just for them, but for those that are still to be born. And so God is working it all out, and we have to trust that he is doing a good job. Amen? It's beyond my scope of understanding. Maybe you got it all figured out. Huh? But God is working a plan, waiting for all people to have the chance to come to meet the Savior, Jesus. And he knows those that are going to accept Jesus, and he's waiting patiently for them to come to that point. So we need to learn a little bit of patience in our own lives. Sometimes when we're in a hurry, when we think things aren't happening fast enough, we got to remember God is working his plan. As mentioned out in our Sunday school, Brother Ted mentioned that a prophecy didn't occur for 300 years. The coming of Jesus. Isaiah, the prophet, talked about the coming of a Savior, a Messiah, 600 years before it took place. And we are concerned about the next 10 minutes. God has a plan, and we need to be patient. He is working his plan. In order for God to have sent forth his Son at the right time, the Almighty God would have to know ahead of time itself that there would be such a need and exactly what that need would be. To think that God has it all figured out before it took place, and this is the knowledge of God, the omniscience of God. He knows all of the things that are taking place in this world, everything that's still got to take place in this world, and he has it worked out. And he knew that we would need a Savior. Jesus knew that he would need to come before the creation even took place. That is a statement of Scripture, is the power, the knowledge of God as he works in this thing that he has created called time. And God is timing everything according to his plan. The Apostle Peter spoke of this in his first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. He said, "This man, Jesus, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross. God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death." Jesus didn't die by accident. It wasn't a surprise. It was by the what? The plan of God, the predetermined plan. The coming of the Christ was no accident or coincidence. Jesus is the key figure before the creation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 has these words for us. "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." H.H. Haley, I always learned it as Haley, wrote a little book called the Haley's Bible Handbook. He has this statement. "All through the story, there runs unceasingly expectancy and prevision of the coming of one majestic person who will rule and bless the whole world. This person, long before he arrived, came to be known as the Messiah." A wonderful statement. As we read through the book called the Bible, the collection of books, we see one major story of God's love for us, the need of our salvation, God's provision of a Savior to give us salvation, and the promise that that Savior is coming when? Again, in the future, to take us to an eternal home. Jesus Christ is the perfect Savior who came at the perfect time for our salvation. It wasn't an accident. It was intentional. Jesus was sent by the Father in the right time and the right place. Emmanuel came in the fulfillment of every prophecy of the Old Testament, every prophecy regarding the Messiah. Dr. David Reagan has identified 108 specific different prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. Can you imagine trying to keep 5 promises from long ago when you say, for instance, the place where you were born? Did anybody foretell where you were going to be born 500 years ago? No. Jesus, the birthplace of Jesus was told hundreds of years before it took place. The way that he was crucified was foretold hundreds of years before it took place. The family that he came from, the lineage of the family of David, and so on. 108 different specific prophecies about Jesus, and he fulfilled every single one of them. Other scholars record how the Greeks, I've mentioned this before, how the Greeks prepared for the Christ with one common language. And the spread of the gospel came to us through the Greek language, a very specific language that is very definite in the interpretation. The Roman Empire prepared the way of a practical transportation system and freedom of movement so that the gospel could be spread throughout the first century world. And the Apostle Paul used that system extensively as a Roman citizen for his proclaiming the truth, the freedom to move about as a Roman citizen and stand up for the truth of God. Evidence shows that the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, is fully capable of having perfect timing. Our perfect God is perfectly capable of perfect timing all the time. God's timing is evident throughout the Old Testament. As we study the creation recorded in Genesis, we find that it fits all of the requirements discovered through scientific analysis. God didn't randomly put together this universe. He did it in an orderly, mannerly way and set the stars in space. He set the solar system to circulate in the right amount of gravitational pulls. It was all by His perfect timing, perfect planning. God's orderly creation is a witness of His perfect timing. Many functions and interactions within our creation must act simultaneously. I've got a video in my office where some of our scientists talk about the complexity of the proteins that come together to make little engines, little machines that function within our body. And those proteins all have to be made at the same time and come together in an exact form and exact manner to form these little biological machines that operate within our cells. And it's not just one, but it's thousands of them that all work together at exactly the right moment together at the same time. And evolutionists try to tell us that all happened by accident. No, it happened by the planning and the timing of God for us to be able to live, to exist. And then we see within the creation the different aspects of water cycles and different types of creatures that depend upon each other to live, to function, to survive. I'll stop there. I'll get back to my notes here. For man to claim that God doesn't exist, that God didn't create, is stupidity. It's Scripture calls him a fool who doesn't believe in God. And we need to be careful that we don't fall into that trap, that category. During God's test of Abraham's faith in ordering the sacrifice of Isaac, God provided the ram tangled up in the bush behind Abraham at the exact right moment. And God is faithful to provide over and over again. Throughout the scripture, we read of multiple cases. Again, in Genesis chapter 24 is another example where God provided a wife for Isaac at exactly the right moment, that the servant of Abraham went to the right village by chance. No, it was by God's planning, by God's design. And he asked the right virgin girl at the right moment for a cup of water, and she answered exactly according to his prayer. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 through 14, we talked about this the last couple of weeks. God foretold the enslavement of Abraham's descendants in Egypt 600 years before it took place. And it took place exactly as God foretold. And this was before Abraham even had a son who would become a descendant and the father of families to come. With the prophecy came the promise of the devastation of Egypt for their cruelty that they would inflict upon the children of God. And we read about the fulfillment of that in the book of Exodus, according to God's timing, God's plan. God revealed and declares his sovereignty and planning in all of his creation, especially in the details and the affairs of mankind. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, we have these words, these assuring words from God. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Is your heart completely devoted to God? He's watching everything about you and your future. He has a future for you. In the chapters of Job, chapters 38 through 41, chapters 38 through 41 records God's revealing a portion of his almighty wisdom. He talks about the springs of the deep, fresh water coming out of the deepest oceans. Now, how in the world would Job know about that? Because Job didn't own a submarine. He didn't own deep sea scuba diving gear. And God reveals that there are springs of fresh water in the deepest oceans. And science has discovered those. The book of Psalms talks about the channels of the waters of the ocean. And I forget the admiral's name, the first discoverer of water currents, the ocean currents. He based that upon his study of Scripture, and he found out that God's word was true, that there are ocean currents because God made it that way. We can go on and on reading in the Scriptures about God's wisdom, his timing, his perfect plan for making this creation work. In Job's response to that revelation in the previous chapters, Job says, I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. Would our response be the same? God, I know that you're in total control, that your timing is the right timing, and you can do anything and everything that you want to do. Use me. Let me be your servant. God set in motion all of the creation, all of the life cycles, all of the systems, all of the rulers, all of the interdependency, utilizing his perfect timing. Take time to read God's word and discover his timing throughout it, and then pray for illumination on how God is working his timing in you. God's timing is evident today, if you will see it. Do you see God's timing? Is it evident in your life? Let's turn to some passages of Scripture. There's some promises that come to us from centuries ago but are still true today. Psalm chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, we find these words. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. I think I skipped a couple of verses there. Let me back up here. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. Are we the righteous? Are saved in by the hand of God? Turn over to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. Verses 13 through 22. This is a rather longer chapter, section. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all of the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashioned the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not saved by a great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have we hoped in thee. God is watching us today. It hasn't changed from 3,000 years ago. God is still watching over all of his creation. He's told us that there is a day coming when all of this creation that we see is going to be destroyed, taken away, and those who are faithful to God will be taken to the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, to dwell with God in perfection forever. I'm looking forward to that. How many of you get tired of the things that go on in our world today? You know, right now we're just down into the last final 3 weeks of this thing that Americans call the election. A lot of turmoil, a lot of conflict, a lot of arguing and trying to sort through what's true, what's false, what is pleasing to God. We need to stay focused on honoring God in the midst of all of this. Still being part of our culture, but rising above the culture and representing what God wants us to represent. Jesus declared that our Heavenly Father is active in every person's life. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 and 8, Jesus says, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Therefore, do not be like them, the unbelievers, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask." God knows what you need, but he wants you to be aware of it, to be alert to the needs. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 33, Jesus says that God knows when the sparrows fall, and he knows what? How many hairs are on Ted's head? No, my head. Your head. Everybody's head. That means he knows how many hairs fell to the ground, too. Is God concerned about hairdos? No, he's more concerned about our hearts, our lives. The victory of Jesus over death enables him to still invite you and all people into his presence to enjoy life today and forever. Jesus still invites people. The invitation of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 is still, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you" what? "Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." It still is. It's not, "It was easy." It is easy if we will just walk with Jesus. God's perfect timing prepared for your presence here today. Those of you who are here today, those who are going to be watching on the video, those who will be listening to the soundtrack, God knows all of those details about every one of our lives, and God wants us to be blessed in learning to trust in Him every moment of every day. Years ago, there was a story that came out of Russia when Russia was still locked down under the strong arm of communist dictatorship. You know, as the people lived under that harsh condition, it was very hard for them to enjoy any of the luxuries that we enjoy here in America. There was a man who saved up his money for a long time and was finally able to save up enough to buy a car. And so he went down to the local official agency and he laid his money on the table and he ordered his car. And the clerk sitting there at the car at the table, he took the money and he says, "Okay, you can pick up your car in 10 years. "Okay, is that morning or evening?" And the clerk said, "What difference does it make? It's 10 years down the road." And the man said, "Well, 10 years from today, the plumber is coming in the morning. So I need to know." Well, Jesus has promised to come back. Is it 10 years or 10 minutes? Or 10 centuries? We don't know. But we are called to be prepared. Because in God's timing, in His plan, when this world ends, there won't be a second chance. And we have to be found faithful, living for Jesus. So today I would ask you, examine your heart and make sure that you're walking in God's timing, in God's plan, and to be found faithful. Because He may come in the morning, He may come in the evening. But when you're walking with Jesus, it don't matter. You're ready, and God will reward you. If you haven't prepared your life, what's holding you up? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you can get your life straight with God, and you can enjoy the blessings of God from this point on, if you will make Him master. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, for enacting your perfect time and your perfect plan in all of creation, in all of these individuals through the Scripture, and most importantly, Jesus coming at the right time for our redemption. And we thank you that your plan, your timing is for us as well. As we go through each day, the challenges, the frustrations, help us to remember that you are in control of this day. This is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad in it because you're in control. Thank you. We pray for those who have not made a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus. Let us be ready to give an answer to them for the hope that lies within each of us. Help us to direct others to your redemption in Jesus Christ. Lead us and guide us as we go from here in a few moments. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.